Okay, we'll get going. Welcome to the City of Knoxville Board of Zoning Appeals. I'm Daniel Odell, Chair of the BZA, and I'll be conducting today's meeting. Alongside of me are the members of the BZA. At the tables across the room are city staff members. Today's meeting will be conducted in the order of the agenda, and agendas are available at the table near the entrance over here. Pursuant to the BZA's administrative rules, each matter on the agenda will be considered in the following order. Staff comments, proponents, opponents, rebuttals, discussion among board members, motion, and then a second, discussion among board members, and then a vote. Members of the public may address the board, and the following rules will apply. Each person may speak for 5 minutes and shall not have more than one time to speak, except that the chair may allow 2 minutes to the applicant for rebuttal. When more than one person wants to speak to an issue, each side is limited to 3 speakers with 5 minutes each. The board may ask questions of any speaker and may allow more time or more speakers by a vote. Speakers should limit their remarks to the facts of the case and should avoid repeating comments that have been previously presented to the board. All speakers should come to the podium and speak directly into the microphone. Speakers will need to state their name and address for the record. Appeals of decisions by the BZA are made to the Knoxville City Council. A petition for such appeal shall be filed with the Plans Review and Building Inspections Department not more than 15 days from the date of the BZA decision. I will now ask Ms. LeClaire to call the roll.
Daniel Odell.
Here.
David Dupree.
Present.
Grant Rosenberg.
Here.
Christina Bowler.
Here.
All right. We have a quorum. First on today's agenda, we actually need to approve the board meetings from the minutes from our May 21st meeting. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes for the record?
I would like to make a motion to approve with one correction.
Okay.
That the meeting should say June instead of July. It says the next meeting is July the 16th, and it should say June the 16th, because today's June the 16th. So with that correction, I move their approval.
Understood.
Second.
We have a motion and a second with that amendment. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? None. That passes. We are on to today's agenda. We have no old business today, which is great. So we'll move directly into our new business, which would mean our first application is 6A20VA. And on this agenda item, I am personally going to have to recuse myself from this meeting, from this agenda item. I will, in doing so, understand that I can maintain control of the meeting in terms of running it, but I will not comment or vote on this agenda item. Okay? So, who's here to speak to this agenda item? Rodney, if you could step to the microphone, and I'm going to shut up now and let these guys.
Rodney Calvin, 8533 Savannah Court, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37923.
Please tell us about the agenda item, please.
Okay, so this project, the property location is 854 North Central Street. It's directly adjacent to the central filling station, and you can see it right there at the, there's a light there at Bernard Avenue in North Central Street. Our project is, there's an existing structure on the property, which we are wanting to renovate for future restaurant use. And in doing so, as we've been going through the project, the site is, we've been having some problems with the site in terms of like site layout and parking, which is why we're here asking for a variance in the number of parking spaces as well as a drive out width. The lot is a small lot. It's irregular in shape. And unfortunately, the alley that is shown to the north there is actually owned by the property to the north. And so it kind of limited us in the way that we could lay out the site in terms of parking and the drive aisle. And the current layout, I don't know if you have that that we can look at, that we submitted. Yes. Yes. So after looking at the project, and we had multiple iterations for site layout, we came to this current concept. As you can see, the property line, it is an irregular site, and you can see on the left side of the drawing there where the alley falls and where our property line is from the current fence that's on the other property. And in this case, we are looking to have four parking spaces, one being ADA, and it's a 45-degree parking space. So you would enter via the existing curb cut off of North Central, either park in the ADA space or move to the left into the larger spaces. And then we created a turnaround in order to make the turn to get back to North Central, because we could not really get to the alley. Unfortunately, we are not going to be able to obtain an easement from the property owner to access that that alley. As shown on the site as well, our one issue there is that our current property line, that corner all the way to the left, actually falls almost smack dab in the middle of an existing curb cut. But there's no way, we've looked at it from trying to get out to that existing light. After we received some comments from engineering, this is the layout that we came up with.
Thank you. I realize I just failed to ask if there were any city comments.
No comments.
Is there anyone here to speak in opposition to this request? Okay, seeing none, I'll turn it over to my fellow board members.
Should I be seated?
Yeah, you can step back. Thanks.
If it's reduced, if you can have 13, how many of that 13 would be required to be ADA?
One parking space van.
One per how many?
It's one up to 25, so there would only be one ADA space that would be required at 13.
How do you intend to accommodate parking for, assuming this is a restaurant? What are your plans to accommodate your customers?
The issue is that, you know, our current as is, the property isn't designed to even meet code. The parking space, there's not a 26-foot drive aisle right there now. The parking spaces aren't striped, and there's not enough space to meet the code. So originally, we did have another layout to get to the, it would have had a one-way to get to the light, and we were able to get seven spaces in that.
Right. I guess, I'm sorry to interrupt. My question is, I mean, assuming we approve this variance, how are you going to accommodate
additional?
How are you going to accommodate your customers with parking? Is it street spots?
It would be like other spaces around the local area.
Okay. Have you reached out to any of the adjacent property owners, such as next door, across the street, to try to lease or negotiate spaces?
Not at this time.
I would just like to comment that whenever the food truck park is operational, there's a lot of traffic. There's a lot of street parking. I don't think that the food truck park accommodates parking, so there is a parking issue in this area.
Yeah.
But that being said, I understand the issue, and it seems that you've done what you can to provide the parking you can.
Yeah, I do agree with the need to reduce, but I think from 13 down to 4 is quite a bit much. I mean, that's not even, I mean, how many employees are you intended to have?
Currently, we don't have a tenant for the space.
I'm sorry?
We don't have a tenant for the space yet, so we don't have that number. This is a shell renovation at this moment.
But it's intended to be restaurant use.
Correct,
right?
Yes. I just can't comment on how many staff is going to be working at the restaurant. I'm not sure.
But your research has shown that restaurants usually have what? You don't have any research as to possible numbers of employees or possible amount of occupancy, number of occupants that it might withhold?
In terms of occupancy, amount of space right now for the building itself, or in terms
right.
of staff?
Both.
Both? Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, looking at the actual building itself, yes, we have. And we were looking at less than 100 people maximum for this building.
Are there any plans from the city to look at any parking facilities in this area? This is an issue. I mean, I've witnessed it and seen it. As we continue to experience growth along this corridor, I mean, I have a client across the street that's had to build. They had to build a huge parking lot around the corner to accommodate 200 employees. And I just want to make sure we're following a consistent standard for property owners. I agree with the need for this variance, the constraints of the site, and obviously it's up to the business owners to have to work out a business model that accommodates the customers. So I can appreciate that. I do have concerns about the limited parking in the area.
So there's nothing, Peter Ahrens, Plans Review and Inspections, there's nothing on the books right now for the city to create additional parking in this area. We just had the streetscape project go through, which provided additional on-street parking. For contextual purposes, the food truck park that was a temporary use when it first came into play, because, and not to get too far down that road, but they didn't, I believe they had one parking space that was an accessible space, and they just, part of their business model was to encourage people to walk.
Mm-hmm.
So, but to answer your question directly, no, there's nothing on the books right now to provide additional parking.
We've, as a board, we've in the past made some allowances for businesses that were coming into the Central Avenue business, Central Street business corridor, because of the lack of parking, but it was also somewhat, at least my recollection is that the majority of them were transient type businesses where there wouldn't be a need for long-term parking. You know, you'll park, you go in, do your business, and then you leave. Or you park, go in, pick up something, and leave, but not something like, you know, not to my knowledge. I mean, there may have been one or two, but, you know, for restaurants, it's usually not just you come and pick up and leave. It's you come, you sit down, you stay a while. And that can be kind of cumbersome without additional parking or without some type of resources. Off the top of my head, my suggestion would be that you do check with the neighbors and see if there's some of the neighbors that would not mind, especially in the evening, because the buses run less and it's going to be less accessible. It's probably going to be more people driving. If they wouldn't have a problem you know, allowing cars to park there, like the storage place or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. There's a church in the area or something like that that wouldn't have a problem with sharing the parking. And then, you know, we'll be better able to justify that large reduction in spaces. But I'm not comfortable right now with that.
Okay.
Is that something you'll be interested in?
It's something that we could explore. I will say, like, we did do a previous plan to try and access the light that's there at Bernard. And our original idea was to have 7 spaces that were angled and one way. And on the left side of our drawing, there is an existing curb cut. And the corner of our property is right there at that curb cut. So we were hoping to at least, you know, it's about 18 feet of that curb cut is at our property. And the last site plan we had, we did want to exit there and have 7 angled spots on our property. Just following city comments, engineering comments, this is what we ended up having to do to stay within, not get on that alley at all and stay out of there.
Is this something we could, I want to speak to my fellow board members here, because we have to be unanimous. We have to be unanimous in this vote, correct, and considering we have 5 members?
You would need to have a majority of all of the members present and voting. So in this case, you need 2 to be able to pass this.
Oh, okay. I was under the impression we needed 3. This is one of those questions I have. If it's something we feel confident we're either for or against, or if it's something we want to defer to allow the applicant to reach out to adjoining property owners to maybe negotiate the lease of some spaces. I'm conflicted on this. I'm supportive of the need for this variance. I think there's precedent for it. There's a legitimate hardship. When I look at the overall community impact to the community, I have some concerns about the overall parking situation. And that's no fault of the applicant, but it's still something that could have an adverse impact. Again, that's something I guess the business could work out or not work out. But I'd feel more comfortable about it if there was a plan to engage the adjacent property owners to lease some spaces or allow for some shared use. I know some of the buildings around there aren't going to be occupied same hours of operation. But I'm inclined to approve. But if it's something we're not all on board with, then I'd rather defer it and give the applicant an opportunity to negotiate.
Grant.
I guess I'll make the motion that it will be approved based on the legitimate hardship. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Grant, 1 second. I'm so sorry. I had forgotten that the BZA doesn't follow Robert's rules on this. You're exactly right. We need 3 votes to do anything. I apologize.
Okay, so we have to be unanimous. So I'll make a motion we approve, but we'll entertain a substitute motion if someone feels otherwise.
Well, I'll second it as a point of order. But I'll ask the applicant one more time, would you rather defer this? Because if we don't get all 3 voting in favor of this motion, then, you know, you're sunk. But if you right now request to have it deferred so you can investigate further and then come back next month, then you save yourself. You save your process and you're still on board for next month. So let me know what you want to do real quick.
I guess I would be in favor of postponement if we have to. We don't want to sink our project, but if we need to look at our neighbors and see if they can help us out in parking, we could do that. I will say that we're trying to maximize the potential of the site as is with a restoration project. And so if we end up coming back and not being able to obtain the parking anyway, it's kind of unfortunate. But we currently, as the business, it's a business occupant now. It could be a business occupant tomorrow and open right up with the no parking that it has now and the drive aisle that's not accommodating at this time. That's just what I would argue.
But if you go and you get an applicant and you say, we already have these agreements with the neighbors, and so we know that we're going to have sufficient parking, I'm pretty sure that the BZA would approve that by this time, then you would still be ahead of the game, as opposed to having to put in a new application.
True.
So with that said, you want us to go ahead and vote?
I would say, if you'd like, we'll defer or postpone if we can.
You want to defer it?
If they get a shared parking agreement, they won't have to come back. That they can comply with the parking requirements through a lease, like the five-year lease.
So we would negate the variance altogether.
Okay.
You
right.
Solve your problem.
For the total number needed.
Yeah.
Their drive aisles too narrow.
Regardless.
I'm sorry. Never mind.
Their drive aisle is too narrow. So even if they have off-site shared parking, they still don't have a drive aisle variance they have to address.
So should we vote on the drive
Can we
drive
split
aisle?
Those up? Well, you say you would want to defer, right?
Yes. If we need to look for other parking arrangements.
Would you withdraw your motion in favor of a motion to defer to postpone A to next month?
I'll amend my motion to defer 30 days to
and
next
I'll
month.
Second that.
Okay. Could we vote on one on the drive aisle and defer the other?
No, we have to take it all
okay.
at one time. I mean, we can vote them individually at that time, but I think we have to take it all at one time. So,
you need to make a motion.
We have a motion.
Motion
before,
in a second.
In a second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
None? Okay. The motion to postpone is affirmed.
That will be to the July meeting.
To the okay. July meeting.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. All right. Up next, 2B20 VA. As soon as it comes up here. All right. 6825 Berger Pond Way. If you can step forward, say your name and address for the record, please.
Julie Shelby Davis, 3315 Riverside Drive, Knoxville, 37914.
All right. Thank you, Julie. I need to ask if there's any city comments on this agenda item.
No comments.
All right. Okay, Julie, if you could tell us about your application, please, and what your hardship is.
Okay, I work. I'm here as the sign for the sign. The company was supposed to be here, but their flights were delayed. So I'm in speaking in on their behalf of Assured Storage of Powell. This property, if you see the little building with the brown roof, is their office. All the other are businesses or storage. The long side of the building that's facing to the right is what faces Callahan Drive. And you can't see it on here, but they have access. There's the barger. Oh, thank you. So here is what is their office. And then here, this is what faces Callahan, which Callahan, there's this little cutout of their property, but then their property line comes down here. So the way the whatever zone this is, they are limited to this front of this building storage. Yet, if you, in there are other pictures of the, I think there's more photos of the picture. Oh no, go on down. That's go on up. Here. This is the view from Callahan Road. which is the main road, they're having trouble getting people finding them because the office is back behind these trees. This was taken in the winter. If you go out there now, you can hardly see because all of this is grown up. What they're wanting to do is to put, they want to increase the storage that's allowed, the signage that's allowed for that little bitty office to accommodate this, the square footage from here, so the signage would go here. And is there a picture of the what we proposed the sign to look like?
Yeah, it's in the
back. Yes, there. So if you see how big this space is, according to normal, you know, you usually get 10% of the face of the facing, the building space that faces the road, but according to the zone, it's that barger, and because it's partly a self-storage, then this area does not count. But you see, if you put 40, I think they're allowed like 32 square feet. If you put 32 square feet, it's a pointless because you're not going to see it from the road. So that's just what they're requesting, to have to be able to use this area, but it's increasing what the zone allows.
Okay. Thank you very much. I need to ask very quickly if there's anyone here to speak in opposition to this request. Okay, seeing none. On to the staff comments and questions. Anyone have any questions, comments? Oh. Okay.
Yeah, there's a letter in the...
We do have a letter from City of Knoxville. Am I required to read that into the minutes, or...
You don't have to read it in. It's okay. Part of the record because it's attached to the packet.
That's what I thought.
You may, I mean, if you haven't all had a chance to look at, you may want to go ahead and take a moment to read it.
Sure. So let's take a moment. Have you all had a chance to read this?
I have a question for city staff. Based on the definition here in the staff analysis, is Barger Pond Way a city street?
It is.
It is? Based on GIS, it says it's a private joint permanent easement. That could be wrong, though. I guess what I'm getting at is, you know, could it be interpreted to where Callahan's the main drive, Barger Pond's the entrance to the facility, which would make that building the primary building elevation. I know it's a technicality, but it's an important distinction when looking at this, because really Callahan Road's the major right of way. So that's just that's more of a definition, an interpretation, but.
And you see, and they're even asking for less than 10% of that space.
Right.
Well, the language also does say a street right-of-way, so it could be a joint permanent easement, but it also says to which the parcel has street frontage and has the principal entrance to the building or has any entry used primarily for customers or clients, and so. That's why it's looked at.
Sure. Yeah. No, I can see city's interpretation of it. I wonder if there's another interpretation of it, given the fact that they own all of that property up to Callahan Road. So one could argue that is frontage. That is road frontage. And it's right of way. So that's the only thing that gives me caution on ruling against this. I guess in that instance we're arguing the interpretation, but nonetheless my point is, it's for all intents and purposes it's fronting Callahan Road.
So the building elevation for the office building is how many feet?
It is, it comes to what they allowed me to use, which was just the, it's 36 square feet is what it comes to, but that's just, you know, it's a building with a pointed, what do you call it? They wouldn't let me use the, I had to just use the one story. They didn't allow any of that. So it comes down to 36 square feet, the frontage of that little office building, which if their office was in one of the storage buildings, this would count. Mm-hmm. If their office was here in this building, then they could use this. This is what we were told. But because their business is just to the side in a separate building, it's not allowed. It has to be that little space.
Well, maybe legal can help me out a little bit. Because it says the primary building elevation. It doesn't say the primary building area, right? It just says the elevation.
I defer on that to Christina.
So if the elevation from the storage building is the within the elevation of the office building, then it should be okay, right?
I think Peter may be able to answer your question on this.
No, there's a primary building elevation. I'm assuming what you're trying to get at is you've got the elevation of the office building and that storage building is in the same elevation?
Right.
Above, that's not, by that logic, you could use every building within that same elevation.
Exactly.
And that's not what we have ever interpreted. It's always the primary building elevation, the building being a singular structure.
So it's really not the elevation, it's still the area, right? It's equating the elevation to the
It's the area of that singular building's elevation that faces a street and has the primary entrance based on the code.
Which is why they are requesting a variance for hardship because of the view, and we can't, you know, to increase the amount of store of square footage that's allowed so it can be seen. Because if, like I said, if you put a sign up there that's only 36 square feet, because it's obvious you can't see because the office building faces the back of the mountain, so you can't see it from any, even from Barger Road, you can't even see it. So you have to turn into their property to see that sign of the, because I guess because part of it's used as a self-storage is what I was told. It wasn't because they can't use that this road frontage here. So it's just they're asking for a variance for the hardship of the way the land runs to be able to increase that storage, that that's square footage, so their sign can be seen.
Grant, it is a private joint permanent easement.
Yeah, I think for all intents and purposes for this business, that I would consider that the entrance. That joint permanent easement is the entrance to the facility, which is off of Callahan Road, so I consider the street right of way to be Callahan Road, not the joint permanent easement. And following that logic, I just see that principal elevation being the building, because that's what's fronting the city's right of way. So, you know, that's my opinion, but I certainly don't. I can understand the city's interpretations well, and I respect that, but based on the circumstances, I just don't see the harm of having a 10% frontage sign on this building, so folks can see where the place see where their business is. So, based on that, I make a motion we approve.
I'll second it.
All right, we have a motion and a second to approve 6B20VA as it is submitted. I do think I have one more question for you. in this photo right here, what is that? Is that a burn or is that dug out here?
It's how the land is, like, it's level right here. There's about 8 feet of land that goes here, and then it kind of terraces off.
It's a building pad kind of thing.
Yeah, and it was built up, or was this cut out? Do you know?
I believe, I would assume, now I don't know, that it was built up because of the way the...
Daniel, I believe that's actually a detention basin.
Okay, yeah.
I just know signs.
Okay, that makes sense.
Can I provide a point of clarification?
Sure.
When you're looking at...
Yeah.
2.4 and maximum allowable sign area. 2AI. The primary building elevation is any elevation that faces onto a street right-of-way to which the parcel has street frontage and has the principal entrance to the building. So that's what your traditional building is. Its storefront looks at the road and has the principal entrance. The next part says, or has an entry used primarily for customers or clients. So that's where the intent behind that is, great or poor as the language is, the intent was, if you don't have a storefront facing the street, and your storefront, look at Arby's, their entrances are on the side. So that's why that language was inserted. We allow Arby's, in this scenario, the benefit of their sidewall, because that's where their main entrance is. In this scenario, the main entrance is not what's depicted on the screen right now. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's on the back side of this.
Yeah, the primary building elevation is the one that the customers use.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the key. It's not necessarily the street frontage. It's where are the customers coming and going.
Mm-hmm. And Julie, just so I'm clear, how long has the current owner been here in this property?
I'm not really sure. If you go back to that very first picture... Here. See, mm-hmm. this is where you enter your storage. The customers enter their storage spaces here. These actually are other businesses, but they're... and then I believe these are storage as well, but okay. These are individual businesses.
How long has this one been used for storage?
I don't
A long
know.
Time? 6 months?
Oh, longer than that.
Much yeah. longer than that. Yeah. Okay. And under the same owner or different? Is this a new owner that's here
I
now?
I believe that they have acquired this this location in the past couple of years.
Is it all one property or
yes.
multiple properties?
It's all property? One property. You okay. see it goes all the way up the
Sure, it looked like it was.
There.
I just wanted to make sure that I understood.
Yeah.
Okay.
They Assured Storage, or the company owns all of this. Just these businesses are, I guess, businesses that don't need to advertise.
Right. Okay. Sure. My only comment for the board is I think the way it's been interpreted is with the storefront is that's the way it's been consistent. We've done it that way for a while now. I mean, since the sign code was put in place, I don't necessarily think that my personal, I get what their desire is, but I'm not certain that I see hardship under the variance code right now. But that's my comment. We have a motion and a second on the floor to approve 6B20VA as it's submitted, and I need to call for a vote. All those in favor, aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, opposed?
Aye.
I'm opposed. With a tie, that means the motion fails, unfortunately. And I'm sorry about that, but that's where we are. Oh, we have to do both ways when we do that? Okay, thank you. So then I will make a motion to deny 6B20VA as it's submitted.
I'll second that motion.
And David will second with a motion and second on favor of denial. Aye?
Aye.
Aye. And opposed?
Nay.
Okay, that always feels like a wasted piece of time to do that way. But all right, thank you very much. The motion fails.
It's a weird court of appeals case.
And just as a reminder, anything that is denied here can be appealed to Knoxville City Court, or City Council, I'm sorry. All right, next 6C20VA, and that would be 211 16th Street. John Holmes, are you here to speak to this? All right, just briefly, you have to, yeah, name and address for the record, please, sir.
John Holmes, 5914 Gray Gables Drive.
All right, thank you. And I need to ask for city comments on this one.
No comments.
All right, thank you, John. Would you please tell us about your application request and
sure.
What your hardship is?
So this is a house in the Fort Sanders overlay. It's NC1, RN5, and we want to enclose the rear porch like we've done on the other two houses to the north there. And this one has, it's already over the existing lot coverage. And then when we enclose that to turn that to living space, it pushes it a couple percent higher even than that already that's over. This one's landlocked, so there's not a way to have parking spaces, but we do have some, the parking lot a little bit further to the north across the street is ours for tenant parking. And I think that should be it. So it's lot coverage. I think there's four items on this one.
Parking. Lot coverage, reduction of parking, reduce this rear setback?
Correct. And so we're not enlarging the structure. We're just enclosing that one section that's already there.
And then you have a impervious coverage as well, I believe.
Correct. And the impervious exists either way.
Okay. Thank you very much. I need to ask if there's anyone here to speak in opposition to this variance request. Don't see anybody. So on to questions from the board. I have a question really quick. This is a house that has been renovated or is being renovated?
It's going to be renovated. So the 50% value triggers.
Okay, great.
When you say 50% value.
If you exceed 50% of the value.
Which is the trigger, I think, right?
You mean the land area, really, right?
The value of the renovation.
Oh, the value, the cost.
That's what's causing us to have to get the parking variance.
There's two triggers that need that are occurring here. One, in Article 11 of the zoning code, there's a 50% threshold where if you exceed that, you have to provide parking per the ordinance. Also, in Article 17 is the non-conforming section, which says if you've got a non-conforming structure, which he does, it's non-conforming as to lot coverage, as to setbacks, you can increase the size. But there is also a threshold that is triggered in Article 17 that requires parking to be provided as well. So it's both of them. It is what it is.
Thank you.
Is there enough parking in that lot that you all own across the street to accommodate without detracting from the other properties?
Right, so we have 17 parking spaces there.
And how many properties does it serve?
It serves the three to the north that you can't quite see there.
Any other questions, comments? This would be considered a substandard lot, right? A small lot?
Not sure.
No.
I'm not sure that comes into play. RN5. What are the lot requirements for RN5?
It's on the record.
It doesn't come into play. I mean, it's a...
If it's not a factor in the variance, it can be in play.
But, I mean, the lot's 37 and normal's 50, so it's a small lot.
Well, no. Maybe I'm
5,000 square foot is the minimum lot size. It's okay. Already a lot of record.
Okay.
And so it doesn't come into play. It's not. It would come into play if we were creating a lot.
Yeah.
But the lot is pre-existing. it's non-conforming?
It's pre-existing non-conforming with a pre-existing structure on it. If the lot were bigger, the lot coverage part of this would be non-issue.
Potentially,
with
yes.
the size of the structure that's already there.
Yes.
Okay.
And you're not tearing down totally and building up. You just
no. It's in the historic overlay, so we have to renovate.
Keeping the same footprint and everything.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
I'll make a motion we approve based on the hardship that its interior is landlocked to be constrained, be a constraint to try to add parking spaces and small lot.
I'll second the motion.
All right, a motion is second. Any further comment? All those in favor, aye.
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 Aye. All right, it passes. Or no, all in favor, nobody's opposed, right? And it, right then, okay. 6C20VA passes. Thank you. Next up, 6D20VA, which is also you, John.
Mm-hmm.
If you would please state your name and address for the records.
John Holmes, 5914 Gray Gables Drive.
Okay. Are there any city comments on this?
No comments.
All right. Other thank than you. And John, please tell us about this one as well. It looks similar, but
so
if
this
you could
one
just outline
very,
it.
Very similar, but we do have parking on this one off the alley there. So I believe this one is just the lot coverage only, if I'm correct. So the exact same thing, smaller porch, enclose it, and it's all existing, non-conforming.
Okay. Thank you very much. I need to ask if there's anyone here opposed to this agenda item. Seeing none, any other questions or comments on this one from the board?
Make a motion we approve.
I second that motion.
All right, we have a motion and second on 6D20VA. All in favor, aye.
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 Opposed? Hearing none. Motion
aye.
Passes. Thank you. 6F20VA. Next up, Sanders Pace Architecture on State Street, 810-814 State Street. If you would step forward. Name and address for the record, sir.
Thank you. John Sanders, 514 West Jackson Avenue. I'm here on behalf of the applicant, Buddy Cruz. And we also have our civil engineer, Will Robinson, here for any technical questions.
All right, very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Real quick, the properties are the one that's highlighted and the one to the south of that as well. These properties, the buildings no longer exist. There was a fairly tragic water main break in 2014. And the buildings were ultimately demolished as they were beyond repair. The buildings, since they've been removed, the property would like to be returned as a parking lot temporarily while the development in that area continues. We're doing the property just to the north of this building as well. The 808 event space, which just received its design review approval yesterday. What we're asking for is a fairly technical variance. It involves Main Street, which you can see on the south edge of the property. We have a 10% rule as you enter into a parking lot. So I'm going to bring Will up here to make sure I'm saying this correctly. We do have some diagrams that we sent out pretty late, and it's that yellow region that you're seeing that's in question.
All right, thank you. Will, before you talk real quick, did I ask for city comments? I don't believe I did I?
No comments.
All right, thank you. Just wanted to check.
I was going to add one comment. Just
okay.
This, the 10% rule they're going to talk about, it's not, it doesn't come from like a safety standpoint. It's really more of a functional, are your doors going to swing open kind of thing if it's over 10%. So that's where that comes from, just to give you some background.
Okay. Thank you.
Will Robinson, 1248 North Shore Wood Lane, Caryville, Tennessee. I'm the civil engineer on this project. And it's stated in the ordinance that the parking lot grade cannot exceed 10%. And we get just barely past it. We're 11, 12% in one highlighted section of this parking lot. It is on the same plane, basically, as Main Street. Main Street there is, I'd estimate, 14-15%. So I think our hardship, or I know our hardship, is topography in this case. It's, you know, this property is really kind of on the same plane as Main Street, and we can't control that. And
we are using the existing drive access that was used previously. There are some TDOT built retaining walls. You can see that radiused wall. So moving that entrance is fairly difficult as well. So that's also part of the hardship.
Where is that at, John? Do you have a pointer up there still? Show us so we can follow along.
The retaining wall is right around this corner. And additionally, there's a public alley here kind of bisects all this property. So that's another area that we can't alter. So the parking where we're asking for the variance is really right up against this alley. So there's a lot of, we're really constrained by topography and everything we're operating around us.
We are providing ADA accessible spaces in the lot. We are providing the landscaping as per the ordinance. So this really is really the only deviation that we seek.
Thank you.
And
oh, go ahead, Will.
The last thing I'd point out, Joshua's point that it's not really a safety issue. We've got parking lots that are 15-20% in the city of Knoxville. And you know, the biggest concern really is the door swinging open. And I'm a lot more comfortable in this case where our cars are parked, they are head down the slope. Whereas if they were side to side, you get more of a swing with the door. You got a little more control of it when you're opening it down the slope. So it's not ideal, but we're really restricted in what we can do with this property.
Okay, thank you. I need to ask if there's anyone here to speak in opposition to this variance. Seeing none, comments, questions from the board?
So it's been paved as a lot for, gosh, about a year now, hasn't it?
It has, and the owner hard capped that because when the buildings were demolished, they obviously need to deal with erosion and things of that nature. They have not been parking cars on that. They've been, it's probably been over a year since they've paved it, and so they have not parked cars because of this issue. They are monthly spaces, so you're probably going to get the same person parking each time as well. So,
I mean, does engineering, traffic engineering, have any real issue with this, Josh? No.
No.
It seems like a clear hardship to me, and it's not going to be a safety concern. So for that reason, I motion we approve as submitted.
Second.
That was a motion to approve, right? I'm
yes.
Sorry, the mask
yes.
is killing
sorry.
Me. That's fine. Motion to approve 6F20VA as it's written. Motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Okay, motion passes. Thank you very much. All right, 6G20VA, also Sanders Pace. And this is Martin Mill Pike. John, if you go ahead and state your name and address for the record, please.
Yes, John Sanders, 514 West Jackson Avenue. I am the applicant,
okay.
Real estate agent for the seller. I'm the option holder on the property at this moment.
Okay.
We are looking to acquiesce the property and redevelop it. It's in downtown Vestal, obviously. It was previously Alan Beermakin's. It had been for over 15 years. Since that, that business recently moved to Chapman Highway and has left that building vacant, and that owner has chosen to sell it after all these years of holding it. So our interest in it is to obviously purchase it and repurpose the existing building. We've run the parking calculation that we are asking the variance for based on the worst case scenario. We do not have a tenant for it at this time, but we have run the calculation based on a restaurant use, which again would be the worst case scenario. It could be used for business, office, or anything that's less parking demand. since the previous owner has owned it, there was obviously a streetscape improvement project that removed the existing parking from the building, and that was done through the right-of-way acquisition process with the city's streetscape project. And in that negotiation, the parking that was being provided for this property is in the city lot to the north of the property, in the municipal lot. So we have talked to the KCDC is actually the title holder to the property. We've had probably 3 to 4 months of conversations with them, as well as Becky Wade with the City Development Department, Community Development Department, excuse me. And they felt we were trying to lease the parking spaces for our use. But because of the greater use of the area and trying to redevelop that area, which there's very few businesses in that neighboring area, they felt that it was in the best interest of the city is to provide parking for everyone. So we are here to ask for that variance on our property so that we can use the city property. The hardship that we have is truly the topography as well. We have a 60-foot riparian buffer from the creek that is to the east, I'm sorry, to the west of the property. And then we wouldn't be able to provide accessible spaces if we did provide parking. We do have accessible spaces within the municipal lot, and there is ironically a sidewalk connecting it directly to our property. So it was obviously designed for that use when they designed it. So we are here to ask for a variance so that we can use that in perpetuity to use the municipal lot.
Okay, thank you very much. I did not ask for city comments on that before we started talking.
No comments, but we're here to answer questions.
Thank you. All right, I need to ask if there's anyone in opposition to this. Seeing none. Okay, thank you very much. John, I do have one question real quick. What's that? Is that a parking lot right there? That's not. It looks like it's paved or something.
It's it's a driveway, and okay. It's very steep. It goes to the lower level of the property.
So there's no way any of that can be parked?
It could be a car, and it would be only a car.
A car. Okay.
So it would be probably more for service loading and unloading than anything.
John, you all have written agreement from the city to use those spaces?
We tried to do that, and it will always be a municipal lot, so okay. There was no agreement that could be made, because if I get one, then they have to give one to lots of people.
Right, but the city is obviously okay with
that. Was their position
prospective business coming in and using those spaces?
Correct.
Okay. Right. Gotcha. Okay.
Where is the city's lot again?
Just to the north.
Can
the city? Yeah, right there.
And how many spaces are in that particular lot?
I believe there's 14 in that lot, and it is the first pervious parking lot that the city tried to. They did a test project there, and that's why it was constructed in the manner that it was constructed.
And
really nice.
To your knowledge, how many other tenants in the area are currently using that lot?
Zero. There are currently no other businesses using it.
Juliana, could you flip to the survey really quick? That's a couple more pages in. I got one question. What is this right here?
That is a sewer easement.
Okay.
It's part of our other, in addition to topography, that is also one of our other additional constraints.
Yep.
Our existing building actually is already encroaching on it as well.
Thank you very much. And if you count the spaces here, he's right. There's 13 spaces and then one ADA, which is total 14. Any other comment or question?
I'll make a motion we approve based on the site constraints and the fact that the city is amenable to this business using the adjacent parking lot.
I will second that motion. We have a motion and a second. Any further question or comment?
And again, the city has no plans to change that from being a lot right at this point.
It's a public lot. The next nearest business would be down south of there where the old furniture shop was located.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further comment? Motion and second. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? None opposed. The motion passes. Thank you very much. All right. 6H20 VA. Land Development Solutions on Clinch Avenue. Please state your name and address for the record, sir.
Hi, I'm Rusty Baxel with Land Development Solutions, 310 Simmons Road, Suite K, Knoxville, 37922.
Thank you very much. Are there any city comments on this application?
No comments.
No comments. Okay, thank you. Rusty, if you would tell us about your variance request and the hardship that it's based on.
We were before your board a while back for this project, and at the time we thought we were going to subdivide all of the property on this block into one lot, and the hospital has requested that they keep this lot separate, and so we've submitted a subdivision plat with that as a separate lot, but it in the institutional zone it requires 20,000 square feet for the lot, and we have less. All the property is already zoned in institutional, so it's, I think it's just like one of the old, when this was zoned before, it was a 01 zone before the recode.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is there anyone here to speak in opposition of this request? I don't see anyone. All right. Comment, question from the board.
Nothing's changed in the actual plan.
That's correct.
Since we approved it last, it's just the fact that you're no longer one lot and you're just keeping it as a separate parcel, so it triggered a different set of variants.
Yeah, and we just were unaware at the time.
Okay.
I mean, based on that, I would make a motion we approve.
Motion, we have a second. I'll second. Motion and a second for 6H20V8 for approval. Any other comment or question from the board? All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. All right, 6J20VA. Oh, I missed one. 6I, I apologize.
This is the sides?
It's out of order in my little thing here. All right, 6I 20VA. Brian, if you could state your name and address for the record, please.
Brian Ewers, Dollar and Ewers Architecture, 111 East Jackson Avenue, Knoxville.
All right. Real quick, let me ask if there are any city comments. None?
No,
anybody?
Sir.
Anybody? All right. Please tell us about your variance and your hardship, please.
Well, we're requesting a variance to the parking down to zero. You can see the property lines there. The building pretty much extends from property line to property line, so there really is literally no room for parking. I believe we can get the bicycle rack in the front, but that's going to be about it. The use that the owner would like to redevelop this building, it's two stories. The upper story is going to be residential, two-bedroom rental units, condos. Lower floor, just a correction to the agenda, that they want to use it for possibly office use, art studios, or personal service studios such as nail salon, hair salon, and so forth. That's what we based our parking requirements on. We do have a reduction for the, there's a bus stop just to the left of the building on Central. And the owner is currently actively in negotiations with the adjacent property owner. You can see the one to the north there, which is that's a sidewalk and grass, but that is owned by Helen Ross McNabb. And based on our preliminary layouts, we can get about 15 spaces there with a accessible space. There is another property down West Springdale, and we've just roughing that out. That property could accommodate over 80 spaces. So we do have a little bit of on-street parking. We've probably about 5 spaces on the side of Springdale, but that we're not trying to rely on on-street parking for the use. So we are requesting a reduction to 0.
Okay. Thank you very much. I need to ask briefly if there's anyone here to speak in opposition. And there is. If you could step forward, please, sir. And please give us your name and address for the record.
Houston Smeltzer with Helen Ross McNabb Center, 201 West Springdale Avenue. I'm probably the least opposition that you'll hear because we're very excited about the development of this property. We think that Candace Watson, the owner, has a great vision for what she wants to do here, so we're big fans of her and what she's trying to do. We are, as Brian said, the owner of the property to the northwest of their building. We also own the property to the kind of the southwest. Our only concern is if you all approve the variance to a 0 parking space requirement prior to any formal documentation in place, that the project could technically move forward without that parking being locked in for this development. We have had a history of people using our parking lot for various uses, businesses in the area, especially to the rear, and we spend a lot of time towing people out of that parking lot because we do get really busy at times. We don't want to tow the tenants or the customers of this building. We think that would be very detrimental to the building's future success, and we want it to be very successful and last for a long time. So that's it. If there's a way to approve the variance down to 0, conditioned upon some type of agreement being in place with either us or there are actually some other lots in the area that I think would be willing to help out as well, then we could support as a neighbor this variance.
Okay, thank you very much.
So currently there are no agreements with any of the neighboring...
I'm sorry, you're going to need to come to the microphone. I apologize.
I'll speak. They are currently in negotiations.
Okay, gotcha.
Yep. So that's something that is ongoing. They're, right now, I think they're trying to come up with agree to a lease rate.
Gotcha.
But the intention, as you mentioned, that they are willing to lease those properties for parking.
Before you all dive into the discussion part of the application, you know, conditional variances, even though, you know, Mr. Smeltzer, I totally understand where you're coming from on that, but they're really not appropriate to be granted. So, you know, in this case, you know, I would consider some separate options as to the parking plan versus the variance.
Okay. Comments and questions from the board?
That was a question I was going to ask about conditional variance. I didn't think we could do that.
Right.
Would the applicant be amenable to a 30-day, a one-month deferral to allow, and we did that earlier in the meeting, I think to be consistent, that I think that would be appropriate to allow another month to try to work through some sort of a parking.
Work through the lease agreement?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Plan.
A deferral so we could get the lease agreement
mm-hmm.
nailed in? All right. Yes, we'll
I'll make that a form of a motion for a 30-day deferral.
I'll second that.
Or
you can. I'll second that. I do have one question. Tell me about the use again real quick on the what is going to be in. It's a salon space?
Yes. Really kind of any studio space, art studio, office space, or... probably the focus is going to be a salon space, yes.
Okay, and so the folks using the parking are going to be there just for in and out for like your haircut, things
maybe,
like that?
Yeah, hour tops probably, yeah.
Okay. I'm curious to see how those parking details work in the like next time you come, but I do think it's, if the neighbor is wanting to see that, it's probably important to have that conversation. But anyways, that was, I was just wondering. Okay. All right, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None, aye, by the way. None opposed. So the motion passes for deferment to next month, to the July meeting.
All right, thank you.
All right, now we're to 6J 20VA. Andrew Wade, Andrea Lane.
Andrew Wade.
Andy Wade.
2239 Andrea Lane.
Yes, sir.
Knoxville 37921.
Yeah, ask real quick if there's any city comments on this variance. All right, thank you, sir. If you would, sir, Andy, tell us about your variance and what your hardship is.
Yes, I'm in the process of permitting the construction of a new single family home, and I need a second driveway to access the basement area to make sensible use of the property.
Okay. All right, that's pretty straightforward. I need to ask, even though there's no one in the room, if anyone's here opposed, and there is not. So board discussion, questions.
Why not just one driveway on the side where you need it?
Well, as you see, the topo on this, it's dropping down really hard to the right. If I construct a crawl space, I'm going to have probably a 10-foot high crawl space. So I was wanting to, like I say, make good use of that property and have a basement there that I could use instead of just it being crawl space.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is, since you need a driveway on the side where the basement is, why not put the driveway there instead of on the other side?
Because I was going to have a upper garage for the top part of the house.
And so why would you need a driveway for that?
For the additional?
Yeah, for the upper.
The house is constructed to where the upper side of, I don't know if you've got that drawing, but to the right would be the house and the garage there. The other driveway would just access the basement garage on the other end.
So this is the basement?
Correct.
How long is that frontage?
The frontage, I think it's 120 feet. And also, that lot was combined. There was actually two lots. It was lots 18 and 19. So both of those were, when I purchased those, were combined. So the driveways, originally there was going to be three lots right there anyway.
Okay, on the topography, Andy, real quick, what's the drop? Again, I'm looking at this map and it doesn't actually...
Well, it's about 10 foot. If you look at the house
from,
to the
from
back,
the road here down to the side of the garage.
Yeah, from the side, from the left of the property to the right, as you see how it's going down to the drainage. So it's dropping about 10 feet from one end to the other on a 60, where the house is 60 feet. It's kind of going down in a hole because there's a drainage and a pond down there that can... So it's really, you know, low as the property goes on down.
And I realize you just said this, I think, a second ago, but tell me what the point of the two is again.
It's so I have access to that lower area.
To the lower area.
Yeah, and utilize the space that I could make, not putting in a crawl space, actually using it as livable and usable space.
So how does the driveway facilitate that? I mean,
I think I would have a garage.
You wouldn't put a car in the basement, right?
Yes, I would. I would have garage doors on that end, and I'd have a basement. It would be a basement, like a basement rancher.
And there's living space downstairs or just the garage?
No, I'll just do garage. I'll probably do every bit of it, just garage.
Just garage, mm-hmm. Okay. And so upstairs, though, you're going to have on the street level another garage.
Correct.
What's that? And that's just for parking?
That would be just for the house garage.
Okay, which would be for parking?
Yes.
Okay.
I guess I'm having trouble understanding the hardship. I guess, you know, it's a topographical hardship if you needed a driveway put in, but you're adding two driveways and two garages.
And that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, that's
I'm trying to figure out.
We have to say this is because of this hardship, you need to put a second driveway in.
Well, like I say, just to make sensible use of the property.
What do you mean by that?
The way it lays, so I can use that instead of using a high crawl space, which would be 8 to 10 feet high, of just wasted space, to utilize that space as...
You're saying you've got to frame it anyways. You're going to, or block it anyways.
Yes.
You're going to build it up anyways to support the house up above, and so you're going to have... Okay.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, I was just saying, under that scenario, though, what can you eliminate the other driveway and garage and make that live up? That's more usable space than you just have one garage.
That's kind of how we had the house designed to look like the others in the neighborhood.
Is there something about, like, what you can't put a stair in or some other limitation to why you can't be parking underneath in that garage area that you're creating anyways?
Well,
the need for the garage upstairs?
Right.
Or?
Well, we're going to use it for our permanent home, and as we get older, we're trying to do away with steps. So we're just trying to keep everything on the main level.
Same level.
On the home.
But the downstairs garage would be accessible from the house, inside the house. You'd be able to walk down. There'd be some...
So you're saying the additional driveway would not access Andrea Lane? So
yes, it would.
Yes,
it would.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Andy, is there a way this driveway can be routed differently?
Well, we had talked about coming off
the
driveway up to the left side and driving really in front of the house and going down that way, but we felt like it would be so steep to try to get a driveway like that it would be unsafe.
Could you look at pulling these two driveways together to...
Well, the driveway would have to be in the front of the house. Like I say, it's dropping in the elevation of about 10 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So if we done that, come in off the driveway to the left and come literally in front of the house and then tried to go around, it would be more steeper than it would be from the road.
Can I point something out? If they were to make this a circular driveway, basically just connect those two driveways with a connector, it would be considered a circular driveway and need no variance.
Right.
So he'd be putting in more driveway and not need variance.
Where would the circle go?
Are you talking about going
all the way around or going right here in the front?
Keep what he has right there. Put a driveway connecting the two driveways through his front yard.
Yeah.
That's legal.
Yep.
This is not.
Right. And I get that. I also get why they're asking for what they are.
Right, and then I would end up having to put a retaining wall because I'd like to get the front yard somewhat level. And then I'm at my 10-foot difference, such a drop-off as it goes off the hill.
Physically, I have no problem with this. It makes sense from a construction standpoint. I am personally not convinced. I see a full-on hardship for it. It's one of those to me that... It makes good use of the lot as it sits and with the conditions they have. If you have to have this, or you desire to have the on-grade garage, the problem is that that's a choice. It's not a hardship.
Mr. Odell, would it help you if you thought about it this way? If it's a flat lot, he can build his circular driveway.
Mm-hmm.
Due to the topography...
He cannot.
He cannot.
I can accept that argument, sir.
So
I have no skin in this game.
Based on the fact that a circular driveway would cause a hardship, because the topography would cause a hardship in this gentleman creating a circular driveway, I make a motion we approve this variance.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second to approve.
Question?
Okay.
Why not?
Pardon me?
Why couldn't what prohibits the lot from being circular due to the topography? What about it?
Because the driveway is going to drop. The driveway is going to now go back to the the driveway here, in order to connect over here, it's going to drop significantly, 10 feet, we'll say 8 feet. So then, in order to cut that down, it makes an extremely awkward driveway to be dropping. I don't know what the slope would be, but I'm going to guess that it's significantly more than 10%.
It's approximately 14%.
Awkward, but not impossible, right? And not necessarily a bad or dangerous something?
I think that depends. There's some interpretation there, I would think, David, but looking at the topography that he's working with, right in here is a very steep grade. And I don't physically see how you're going to get your turning radius in there with that grade. And so I'm in agreement with the thought process that Peter's presented. To do that is going to be, nothing's impossible. But that's awfully difficult, and I can get comfortable with it as a result of that. It's pretty steep right there. Go to the topography map real quick. Juliana, go to the topography map. I don't know if we can zoom in.
So you're planning to have a retaining wall on the left side of the right driveway?
The house is yes. Right here. To where the...
so you can have a flat front yard.
Level,
right.
For it.
So he's intending to have a flat front yard.
Yeah.
Have a retaining wall on the left side of the right driveway.
And I think that solution keeps the neighborhood a little more consistent in terms of having a flat front yard. I don't think any of the other houses have circular driveways.
So with a flat front yard, you could make it circular, right?
No, because there'd be a retaining wall. He's going to build a retaining wall
on the left side.
On the left side of the right driveway, he's going to build a retaining
wall. Your circular driveway would run off the edge of the retaining wall. If you're going flat, it's going to drop
off. So not the left side of the house. You're talking about the left side on the right side of the house, but the left side of the right driveway.
Correct.
Jeez. I got that right? Okay. Okay.
We got a motion and a second to approve 6J20VA. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion passes.
I'm going to abstain on that, though.
What's that?
I'm going to abstain.
Oh. Mm-hmm. David abstains. All right. I believe that's it for today. Meeting adjourned. Thank you very much.
So, being the first meeting together again, without the pre-meeting, what kind of feedback can you give us?
I like the notes. I thought they were helpful.
The notes were helpful. That was good.
Okay. Yeah, I thought the notes were helpful and went okay.